It's interesting that the scripture this morning is so important to our understanding of the coming of the Messiah, to our appreciating the gift of the Christ child, that God's map, the scriptures, really tells the story again. In Micah, we hear almost the same words as we heard in Isaiah. His prophecy says, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." And here's the part that's almost identical. "He shall judge between many peoples, and shall arbitrate between strong nations far away. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall all sit under their own vines and under their own fig trees, and no one shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken, for all of the peoples walk each in the name of its God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever." Our first candle on the Advent wreath is the candle of hope. And certainly with all of the service people who are giving up their life in Iraq, we would hope, truly hope for that day when there is war no more. Don't you? Don't you hope for that day we don't have to send people to fight and die? Don't you look forward to a day where we can truly live in peace? Now, with the condition of our world, it's hard to believe we're going to see that anytime soon. But we don't know when the Lord will come again. So that's why it's important at least two times in the cycle of the church year for us to focus on spiritually preparing ourselves in terms of our relationship with our God. One of those seasons is Advent that we start today. And the other season is Lent, where we look and examine our ways and get our hearts right with God. And they come just before the two great holidays of the church year, the great holy days of the church year, the first one being Easter and the second one being Christmas. Now, if you had to figure out which was the greatest holiday based on how much money we spend, it would probably be Christmas, and Easter would come in a distant second. But maybe that says something about our destination, where we've decided to go. That we maybe use this season to indulge ourselves and indulge the people we love, rather than letting it be a time of special witness to the God who offers us eternity. There's nothing wrong with us getting something out of this hope for God. You know, this idea of everybody sitting under their own vines and under their own fig tree was personal gratification. To be so safe that there is war no more, that you have a place, and on that place you have something that belongs to you, that you can say it's mine, and you can sit there and enjoy it without being afraid. In our journey to God, in our efforts to follow in His paths, how many of us are facing fears in our lives? Maybe it's fears relating to our job. Maybe it's fears about our health. Maybe it's fears about the health and welfare of our loved ones. But you see, hope enables us to rise above those fears. I was talking to someone recently who I've known for a number of years, and I always thought they were religious, and I thought they were faithful about their religion, but I was never quite sure about their faith, their spirituality, their walk with God. And I finally had a chance to share with this person, or I should say, they shared with me, pretty much unsolicited. And I was wonderfully surprised at what a simple, basic, trusting, thankful faith they had. But you know, in day-to-day life, I've seen them being fearful. Most everything that comes up, the first thing out of their mouth, something negative. They don't walk around particularly joyful. You can't look at their behavior and tell they love the Lord, they're thankful for the Lord, and they appreciate life. It's kind of like the little children's song, if you're happy and you know it, then your life will surely show it. In other words, the words that I heard didn't match what I'd ever seen in this person. Now, I'm not saying there weren't times when they were joyful or there weren't times that they weren't thankful, but it wasn't a consistent witness. How many of us in our roadmap of faith, in the paths that we follow daily, have what I called, when I shared with this person, then you have a strong secret faith? What do you mean, secret faith? I said, well, it seems to be a secret. I've known you a pretty good while. I didn't know about it. I've observed you quite a lot. And if I had to convict you on the evidence of what I saw, it wouldn't match what you just told me. So that's pretty much a secret faith. And if all you have is this personal secret faith that you hold inside to help you get through the tough times, if you have your pathway and your map to where you want to go, and you're not willing to share it with others, you're not a witness for Jesus Christ. Actually, you're not being much of a witness at all. I hear people say, well, my life is my witness. Well, gee whiz, how many of us see lives that are such exuberant witnesses for Jesus Christ, a person doesn't have to say a word? Do you run into a lot of people like that? Now, I've run into some, but they're kind of few and far between. What are the paths that we follow daily? You know, one thing that's interesting about college campuses, I think about that when I see our college students here, is, college students will always try to find the most direct route to thing, and then a lot of times the university will come along and pave a sidewalk where the students have formed a path. Have you ever noticed that? You know, they did that out at Methodist College. In other words, they'll find a pathway, and then administratively, after a bit of time, they'll come along and pave the pathway. What kind of pathway are we leaving that shows that we want to go to our destination, the kingdom of God, that we want to be members of that kingdom, that we want to be in heaven? You see, the scriptures are full of references, especially from the Psalms, about following the path of the Lord. One of our favorite passages, the 23rd Psalm, He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He's with me. You see, it's about pathways. It's about following a course. It's about having a sense of direction. What do our regular paths, not just the physical ones, but the behavioral ones, say about our relationship with Jesus Christ and Almighty God? Are people going to want to come along and pave a walk or a highway because that's a good path? Are we like Lewis and Clark that established pathways across America to open up the West to expansion? Or do we have our secret little faiths that get us through, but we sometimes don't even share them with our own family members or our closest friends? Certainly not our neighbors, and never, never, never a stranger. And yet our scripture says we must follow his path. Talking about the Messiah, the way of God. And God sent his son into the world and made a sacrifice so we would know the pathway. Here at this time of the year, we hear from the Gospel of Luke. The word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all of the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying into the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked will be made straight, and rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Well, I don't know that any of us are going to be so great a witness as John the Baptist. Jesus said he was going to be special in the kingdom for his witness, for his work on making the path clear, making the path smooth, making the path straight, straightening out the crooked parts, filling up the dips in the road, and making a difference in the world. How do we get there? What do we do to get there? I think there's several things we need. First of all, we need to trust in God. Proverbs tell us, trust in the God with all of your hearts. Make straight your paths. Make your paths clear as to where your destination in life is. That's your witness. How clear are your paths if people are observing you? If they don't know what that faith is that you carry in their heart, what can they tell from the paths you travel? Number two, we came across this in our Bible study a couple of weeks ago in the Psalms as we were praying the Psalms. And I love this from Psalm 86. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart to revere your name. You know, we can't stay on a steady course and make a clear path if we've got a divided heart. If we're selling out to the world every other day and coming back to the Lord on the off days. It's going to be more like sailing a boat. We're going to be tacking back and forth. And where are you going to find that pathway in the water? Because it just washes away. How many of us are living our lives with divided hearts? You see, we have to have a straight path by trusting in God and God's Word. We have to have an undivided heart, and then we can stay on course. In Deuteronomy, when God had laid this big responsibility on Moses, he says, have the people go back in their tents. I'm going to tell you the rules, and you'll tell it to them. And this is what God spoke to him. You must therefore be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn to the right or to the left. You must follow exactly the path of the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live, and that things may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land that you are to possess. How many of us go through troubles because we've stepped off the path of God? We not only have a divided heart, but we're always looking to the right or the left and seeing what other people are doing, or what other people have, or what other way other people are going, instead of knowing in our spiritual compass the direction God would have us to go. The fourth thing we need to do is realize that choosing God's way is not always going to be popular, and it's not always going to be painless. Even Jesus told us, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction. And there are many who take it. For the gate is narrow, and the road is hard that leads to life. and there are few that find it. I suppose when Jesus was getting ready to leave this world and the disciples were hearing him talk about dying and no longer being with them, they panicked a little bit. And he told them in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, "Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And he goes on to tell them, "I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and take you there." I mean, he's not only set a spiritual path, he's made a promise, and he's going to come back and lead us to final victory in his kingdom. And Thomas says, "Well, how do we know how to get there? We don't even know where you're going." All this time he spent with them, and they were sometimes so dense, weren't they? Kind of like us. We hear it, but it just doesn't sink in. And Jesus says, "Oh, yes, you do. For I am the way." That's another way of saying I'm the path. I'm the map. And I'm the truth and I'm the life. Oh, yes, you do. You've just got to live it. Are we willing to set our course and follow his paths today and forevermore? That's the choice we all have to make. If we have the hope of being in the kingdom, we must blaze a trail that shows our faith. Let us pray. Gracious Father, oh, we thank you so much for this time to be reminded how your people have longed for a close relationship with you, for the power and the energy that comes from your Holy Spirit to live out this life, to set our course, to have a straight way that you have taught us so that we follow you with an undivided heart, not really looking to the left or the right and being swayed by what's going on there, but putting all our trust in your way and walking in your paths. And we just pray, Father, that the people we're married to, our children, the homes in which we live, the people there, see our path and know without a doubt that we're on a journey to your kingdom. Keep our feet straight. Lift us up when we fall. Encourage us when we meet barriers. Inspire us when we face challenges, that we might blaze a trail straight to your kingdom, for now and forevermore. Amen.